This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
Thank you, Hannah. Here's the March 17th groundbreaking ceremony for Michigan State University's Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. MSU's Provost June Hewitt is the MC.
FRIB is a U.S. Department of Energy Office of Science user facility, and the federal government is funding the largest share of the project, along with contributions from the state of Michigan and Michigan State University. This morning, we are pleased to have with us Senator Carl Levin and Senator Debbie Stabenow, and Congressman Mike Rogers, Dave Camp, Tim Walberg, and Sandy Levin, along with Fleming Krim, Assistant Director for the Directorate of Mathematical and Physical Sciences, U.S. National Science Foundation. NSF has long been the major funder of nuclear research at Michigan State University. Thank you. It is now my great pleasure to introduce the Honorable Carl Levin, our senior U.S. Senator from Michigan, for a few words. Senator Levin.
Thank you, June, so much. And boy, how about those Spartans last night? I'll tell you. Thank you. Well, one day on this site, scientists using the most advanced technologies will bring us closer to answers to the really big questions. Questions about the universe and our place in it. Questions about the nature of matter and the nature of time. Human beings have been asking questions along those lines before we even had the words to ask those questions. And in a real way, the search for fundamental truths has driven human history forward. So today's groundbreaking is another step in the human quest to know more. And it's a groundbreaking moment in many ways. Now, I've taken a survey as to whether or not to pronounce FRIB, FRIB or FRIB. Not that we do public opinion polling in Washington, but 53% of the people said FRIB, and I'm going with FRIB, even though I think most of you say FRIB, since I'm a Democrat. So FRIB, of course, means growth for Michigan's economy. Thousands of jobs in construction and nuclear physics will make huge short and long-term contributions to Michigan's economy. Already standing at the pinnacle of American universities in nuclear science, FRIB means an even more secure place for MSU as the premier location for nuclear research, not just for our country, but for the world. And FRIB also means tangible progress for the American people. It will bring us closer to groundbreaking cures for deadly diseases. It will pave the way toward more reliable and affordable sources of energy that are gentler on our environment and our planet. And FRIB will make very important contributions to America's national security. Michigan's delegation was united in our support of FRIB. We held countless personal meetings at the White House, at the Department of Energy, with OMB officials, and of course with our colleagues. We did our best to make sure that everyone involved in making decisions about our nation's budget for energy and science research understood the importance of FRIB to economic growth and to scientific leadership. So of course, the delegation is proud of our contribution. But that's not what made the real difference. The real difference was the quality of MSU's nuclear physics program and its proposal, because that proposal had to be superior to win a DOE competition against one of DOE's own facilities. So I want to thank Secretary Notek, and I want to thank the Department of Energy for the integrity of their process. From President Simon on down, this university has proven worthy of hosting a project of this scope, about $750 million. MSU has shown itself worthy of a project which is so important to the future of science and of our nation. The astronomer Carl Sagan once expressed why a commitment of this magnitude is important. And what he said was that, quote, somewhere, something incredible is waiting to be known. Today, that somewhere is here on the campus of a great university, where we reaffirm our commitment, our nation's commitment, to learn the many incredible somethings waiting to be known. And when the time comes, not too long from now, when I look back on the Michigan projects that I worked on and was involved in, the projects which were the most memorable, FRIB will surely be one of those. Thank you, congratulations, and go Spartans.
Thank you, Senator Levin. I'm sure that I speak for everyone here today as I thank you for your long service to the people of Michigan and to the United States. Next, I would like to ask the Honorable Debbie Stabenow, who is, I might note, a proud alumna of Michigan State University.
Thank you, Provost Hewitt. First, I have to say today is the Green Day, St. Patrick's Day, but I have to tell you, after watching every minute of the game, yes, sir, go Green, go Spartan. Weren't you excited? Come on. I mean, yeah, it wasn't that. We got the full team back, and look what happens when the full team's on the court. We win. All right, that's enough. Out of my system. Okay. And now we'll go forward. And so, President Simon, I'm sure you had a big smile on your face yesterday, and the whole, Joe, the whole Board of Trustees and all of us who are proud Michigan State alums. I'm so pleased to be here with Senator Levin and with our Michigan delegation, and as he said, this was a team effort. Our whole team was on the court and worked very, very hard, and the reason that we were able to do it is because we knew we were fighting for the best. There's no question about that. I'm so pleased that Michael Notek, our Deputy Undersecretary for Science and Energy, is here with us today. You know, I've been working on these issues. I was thinking about it sitting there. I almost hate to say it because it's been almost 30 years since I was in the State House when we were working together, when there was another dream out there called a superconducting supercollider. Anybody remember that? Yeah, took years off my life and many people in the room. And the great news, frankly, about this is that it's actually happening. I can tell you, as a member of the Budget Committee, when what we are doing is seeing cut after cut after cut, the fact that we've been able to bring this together with the strong support and full funding from the White House, strong support from a bipartisan delegation, I think is very significant. It's also wonderful, after being here a little over a month ago and seeing President Obama across the street down the way sign the Farm Bill, where we focused on cutting-edge agricultural research, that we're now back with the facility for rare isotope beams, which I call FRIB. I'm sorry, I'm the other half of the 50%. The fact is, though, that as was mentioned by Carl and mentioned in the video, this is very, very much about the future. It's about things we know, and it's about things we don't know, which is what is so exciting about science. basic research, things that we don't know that will come from this. But here's what we do know. It's going to create $1 billion in economic activity in Michigan. That we know. It will create 5,000 construction jobs, 400 permanent jobs. We're going to see 800 scientists from around the world coming to Michigan State University to conduct their research. That's what we do know. And that is what is also very, very exciting. And literally every person on this earth, on this planet, will be impacted by the discoveries here, whether it's a cure for Alzheimer's or juvenile diabetes and causes and treatments of all kinds of health challenges and cancers, making our food safer, helping us to understand the very origins of who we are and the universe. It's also cementing MSU's place as a world leader in nuclear science and in training the next generation of scientists. And that is a very important piece of this as well. Our national labs are critical, but by putting this facility here at a teaching institution, we are creating opportunities for undergraduates and graduate students to work in the labs, to be the next innovators, to drive America's future literally for hundreds of years to come. Now, let me just say in conclusion that we also, though, have a very long history of being at the forefront of science at Michigan State. From the day the National Superconducting Cyclotron Laboratory opened, it's been churning out discoveries that nobody could have imagined at the time, giving us life-saving cancer treatments, as well as a deep understanding of the nature of our world. President John Hanna had a vision for Michigan State when he built the cyclotron here in 1963, and he brought Henry Blasser, a 29-year-old physicist, to set up the cyclotron lab, which was the largest of its kind when it opened, allowing researchers to measure nuclear properties more accurately than anybody else had ever been able to do. He helped build MSU's world-class nuclear physics program, which brought top physicists to campus to conduct research and train the next generation. And today, this is the highest ranked nuclear science program in the country. In the country. And 1 in 10 nuclear scientists in the country get their PhD at Michigan State. So this is a proud day, and we have seen our president, Lou Anna Sima, take this university to the next step, the next place. It's a groundbreaking today, which is a celebration of all the men and women who have gotten us to this point and all those that will get us to the next place. It's a big deal for the country. It's a big deal for Michigan State. Go green.
Go white.
We are today in the district of our next speaker, the Honorable Mike Rogers, the U.S. Representative for the 8th District of Michigan and a tireless supporter of the facility, so that I don't take sides.
Thank you, Provost. I appreciate that very much. In our office, when it first came to us in 2008, we were going to get involved in this project. It affectionately became known as the medium rare isotope accelerator. Apparently, I'm that small minority of that poll. I do want to thank all of you for being here and the incredible accomplishment for the scientists, for the staff. President Simon personally put so much energy into this project, and I hope you know that. She spent a lot of time in Washington when I'm sure she would rather been here. Spent a lot of time with us members, and it truly was, in a time when you have maybe lost a little faith that Congress can work together, a bipartisan, bicameral effort. We had frequent meetings. We worked together. We contacted the administration together. And it was, I think, a labor of love for every member of your delegation. And let me take this moment to say, for someone who won't be with us next year or maybe even 2022, Carl Levin, whose service to this state and his country has been immeasurable, thank you for that, sir, and thank you for your service. What a great way to go out on the F-trip. You know, in 2008, when they did approach the office, I was nodding my head a lot, and thank God for Google. I went back right away and redid some of my physics and my... Oh, I can see you there. Thanks a lot. Peter Secchia has given me that grin. Like, I just, you know what I'm talking about, right? Peter Secchia? He was trying to teach me about physics. That's how bad we were in 2008 before we got here. But through this process, something pretty special happened. We developed a small expertise and at least understanding what the scientists were telling us so we could advocate and be better advocates. And it was pretty exciting. And as a national security guy that spends a lot of time doing it, we're going to talk a lot about the economy, and that's fantastic. The $1 billion, the 5,000 construction jobs, the spin-offs that are going to come from this facility. But this facility will add immeasurably to the national security of the United States of America. It's going to be able to take nuclear waste and reprocess it in ways that we haven't seen before. It's going to produce less nuclear waste in the processing of energy in the future. It's going to cure cancer, or could cure cancer. And I thought of that last night when we were watching that basketball game, or yesterday afternoon, and as exciting and thrilling as it was, and seeing Coach Izzo get teared up at an event of an incredible accomplishment for him and that team, and talking about Coach Dan Antonio and his win in the Rose Bowl. And when Adrian Payne climbed that ladder with that little girl to cut that net down, I thought that's how it all comes together. Because right here at Michigan State University might be the cure for that little girl's cancer in the future. And it's going to happen right here with MSU scientists, with Michigan investment, with international excitement, and the people that come here and do something really spectacular. I love football and I love basketball, but nothing will compare to what's going to happen right here behind us. I was glad to be a part of it. President Simon, thank you for your stalwart effort. To the delegation, thank you. Provost, thank you very, very much. Let's get this thing rolling so we can get some people cured.
Michigan is fortunate to have a number of influential members seated in Congress, none more so than the Honorable Dave Camp, the U.S. Representative from the 4th District of Michigan and Chairman of the House Committee on Ways and Means. Congressman Camp, thank you for your support.
Well, thank you and good morning. And yesterday was a big win, and today's a big win, too. Thank you, Provost. Appreciate that. Today couldn't really have happened without President Simon's leadership and also the vision of the MSU science community. And obviously, it's great to be here at this event. It's been many years in the making, not quite all of Senator Levin's term, but maybe Senator Stabenow's term in the Senate. But obviously, the FRIB is a reality because of this monumental collaboration between federal government, the state of Michigan, and Michigan State University. And one of the most important things we can do as legislators is work together to support opportunities for students, scientists, and the government to learn and collaborate. And the Michigan Congressional Delegation's support of FRIB is a bipartisan milestone, and I was proud to be a part of this process for many years to ensure and secure the needed funds to support this groundbreaking scientific research. When finished, the facility will cement Michigan State University's legacy as a place for cutting-edge nuclear physics research, and we couldn't be more proud. This powerful Center for Nuclear Research will allow scientists to examine elements that do not exist in nature and to learn how these elements form. And to sum it up, FRIB will help scientists from across the country and the world understand the origins of the universe. Scientists can apply their discoveries, the eureka moments that will be made right here, to make life-saving discoveries, scientific discoveries. So keeping Michigan and Michigan State University a leader in scientific discoveries means more learning, more knowledge, and more jobs here at home. The construction will create thousands of jobs, the facility will support hundreds of jobs, and the discoveries made here will generate countless jobs as the ideas tested at the FRIB spiral off into real medical and defense products. Michigan State is already a beacon of innovation, and the FRIB will continue attracting great minds for scientific development here to inspire Michigan and the world. I'm honored to be a part of this process. I look forward to learning about the great discoveries that will soon be made here. God bless all of you. God bless the United States, and God bless Michigan State. Thank you.
Also with us today is the Honorable Tim Walberg, the U.S. Representative from the 7th District of Michigan. Congressman Walberg.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. Now, before anybody asks, the rest of the delegation, we all worked together very well on this project. I was the one sent in to do the fighting. So I know you're wondering about the black eye. You'll notice as well it's on my left eye, not my right eye, thank God. You got it, Senator. We're glad to be part of FRIB and FRIB. Both projects, in my mind, are worthy. In a swing district, you have to have openness to both sides. It's been a great project. I remember as Senator Stab and I back in the state legislature at the time when we were talking about superconductor supercollider. I remember driving past the Fermi lab in Batavia, visiting my aunt and uncle, and saying, no way is that going to have the project. And we were successful. And today I think about people like Harold Hilbert. Some of you will recognize that name. Bless his soul. Who has involved so many years in projects here that are making a difference. This will make a difference. It may even find the answer to ice in March, the middle of March, in front of a movable logic. That's all I'm asking right now. I thank God for the minds that were given to people to consider things that are not answered. Consider questions that could bring answers. And those answers, as my colleague Mike Rogers said, can bring cures. Cures that are thought to be unreachable at this point in time. And yet, the amazing mind put into technology and efforts that expand the opportunities will bring those results. I'm looking forward to what comes from this. In the near future, the distant future, and way beyond any of us that may be in the room today, for good and not for evil. I'm reminded of the quote that is above the speaker's rostrum in the House chambers, and a quote that comes from a gentleman by the name of Daniel Webster. I see that quote almost every day as I walk into the chambers of the House of Representatives, and I think it fits here today. He said, let us develop the resources of our land, call forth its powers, build up its institutions, go green. Promote all its great interests, and see whether we also in our day and our generation may not perform something worthy to be remembered. You are doing that. President Simon, trustees, scientists, faculties, benefactors, members of Congress, and all the rest who will put an effort to achieve something great to be remembered and impact our world. Thank you.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're listening to the March 17th groundbreaking ceremony for Michigan State University's Facility for Rare Isotope Beams. MSU's Provost June Hewitt is the MC.
The state of Michigan, of course, has been an important partner in helping Michigan State University with the competition that has brought us here today. And representing the state today, we have Dennis Muchmore, Governor Rick Snyder's Chief of Staff. Dennis?
Thank you all very much, and I would be remiss if I did not say that the people of the state of Michigan would like to thank Carl Evan for many, many years of great service to this country. So we thank you from the people of the state of Michigan. And I'm introducing a video by the governor, but first I want to say to President Simon and Chairman Ferguson, it's an incredible opportunity, experience that you've given us to participate in all this. We thank you very much. And I would also like to just recognize Dave Hollister, the former mayor of the city of Lansing, who's the first person who started nibbling on me about this a long time ago. And David, your contributions to this should not go unnoticed, too. So thank you very much. I brought the new budget director of the state of Michigan with me, John Roberts, so I just figured that Mark Burnham is sitting right behind him. So, Mark, you can get your whatever your pitch is there. Governor Rick Snyder, a self-proclaimed nerd, has the opportunity to have a great feeling for scientific discovery and the opportunities to create heretofore unknowns and make them known. And I'd like to introduce the video for the governor and let him speak for himself. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Governor Rick Snyder. I'm sorry I can't be with you today to celebrate this important step in making the facility for rare isotope beams a reality. But I do want to congratulate all of you for your hard work and passion for excellence that has made this day possible. The state of Michigan is proud to partner with Michigan State University and the Department of Energy's Office of Science on this vital facility. As governor, my top priority is to create an environment for more and better jobs in Michigan. The FRIB is a great example of the success we are seeing all around the state. In addition to creating opportunities for potentially world-changing research, constructing the FRIB will also create hundreds of jobs for skilled trades workers. FRIB is a talent magnet, already attracting some of the best and brightest from around the world to East Lansing to plan and manage the project. And they'll keep coming. When completed, about 400 people will work here full-time in the kind of knowledge-based jobs that our state needs for the future. The facility's technological developments are also helping establish spin-off companies like NioWave, which is creating even more jobs for our state. FRIB is a win for Michigan State, the nation, and the world, and further evidence that Michigan is the comeback state. My thanks to everyone who has worked so hard to make FRIB a success.
And now I'd like to introduce the distinguished chairman of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees, Mr. Joel Ferguson, to introduce President Simon.
Before I introduce President Simon, I'd like to introduce two of my colleagues who are here today, Diane Byram and Diane Woodard. It's kind of funny, Debbie Stabenow gets up and she has her Go Green State stuff on. We have Mike Rogers, who I spent all weekend, it looks like, with him. And I look at our congressional delegation. We keep talking about team. And you guys certainly are a team, you know, that's very important, and you're a gift that keeps giving. In fact, well, I want to just thank you for Michigan State and the state of Michigan. President Simon gets on me all the time because she says, Joe, she doesn't say very much about her. And she gets embarrassed when I really talk about her and say the things I have to say about her. And the first thing I'm going to say, she's the same, she's about what we're about here today. She's a gift that keeps giving. And long after she's not president, that gift will still be around and be continuing to give for the state of Michigan. I just want to say that. And the second thing is that Team MSU, under her leadership, is not a slogan, it's a reality. And I'm just saying this, Luanna, that everything you've done for Michigan State University and what they're saying about you is you're still a gift that's it'll keep giving. The best is yet to come with you. So I give you our president, Luanna K. Simon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. It really is a terrific day for Michigan State University, for our state, and I think science for America. 50 years ago in 1964, the first beam was accelerated by the first cyclotron built at Michigan State University. So now we're celebrating really the groundbreaking of the next generation of leadership and a vital role of science, creating the next generation of scientists to engage in rare isotope research. The first cyclotron, as Senator Stabenow said, was the vision of President John Hanna. So I was thinking as I was walking around today, what would he be thinking about this groundbreaking? Because he expected bigger and better things of the university every day. And so clearly this is a bigger and better thing of something he started back in the 1960s. We'll continue to follow John Hannah's formula for success today. Convince the best people in the world to come to East Lansing, people then like Henry Blosser, people today like Conrad Gelpke and Thomas Glossmacher and the entire team. Give them the tools that they need, albeit how expensive those might be. I'm not sure Dr. Hannah would have imagined this price tag for this project, but he would have been okay with that. Give them the freedom to explore their passion and encourage excellence of everyone involved. And that project just kept on. And we're looking around the bend now for the next great things for this area of expertise. It really was extraordinary to go back that in 1980, the Department of Energy actually was designated as a laboratory for the NSCL. Then it moved over to the National Science Foundation. Then there became an opportunity for this thing called RIA, the Rare Isotope Accelerator. And that project was something that we felt we could contribute and compete. And then RIA became a little bit too big for the budget, but we still thought we could compete with an idea that came from using the resources that we had in the existing cyclotron and putting together an idea that became part of the scientific community. And Peter McPherson and his tenacity about the opportunity to compete and being sure that we were given that opportunity, along with Conrad Gelpke and all the folks who began to lay out this design. And we then had to win the SIF competition. And I can remember it was December of 2008, and you think about that time in Michigan's history, it wasn't necessarily the brightest day for Michigan for the economy. But we had just finished the competition, and the team was sequestered in Washington waiting for the results. And Senator Levin and Senator Stabenow and Congressman Rogers each called, telling me that they were not supposed to tell me anything, but that we had won. And so when you get three calls, you think it's good news. The first call you wonder about, but the third call you knew you were in really great shape. And I'm sure Conrad and Tomas and the team felt the same way. I was never prouder of the work that Michigan State did in preparation for that competition, because we knew we had to be superior to exceed everyone's expectations, much like the team did yesterday. You've heard about the fact that we were able to blend the education, the next generation of scientists, the excitement of having little kids run around the laboratory and be a part of that land-grant tradition. And it really has been extraordinary. It's hard to imagine when people talk about this 50 years from now, when the first beam is accelerated in the new machine, what kinds of discoveries will have occurred, and the kinds of impact it will have on people's lives to have them excited about science. This really was a team effort. The members of Congress were extraordinary, teaching me how to deal with them and explaining to me what to say and what not to say. But this was truly a team effort with bipartisan support for Michigan State and for all of us in the scientific community. To the members of the various review committees, thank you for making us better. It was a painful process, but we learned along the way. The Leadership Advisory Committee, representing prominent Michigan citizens from across the state, were incredible in this process. And I'd like for you to wave your hand and sort of stand up if you can for a moment. Let us thank you. Peter, I know. Brooks is here. I don't know who else is. Senator George, please. David. This was truly a bipartisan effort. They were really extraordinary along the way. And to our friends at the Department of Energy Office of Science, we say thanks to you for putting your faith in our university and the state's ability to deliver the facility for rare isotope beams. And for the state of Michigan, through three governors who have supported this project and its value for economic development and for investing in Michigan State University. As the digging gets underway, it will become the state's biggest building project. will employ the equivalent, as people said, of 500 person years of work in civil construction. When completed, will employ about 400 people full-time as managers and scientists, faculty, and students. Think about that as a high-tech company. Though no doubt that the research here will continue to spur new economic development and will bring bright entrepreneurial people to Michigan will be an important factor. This is really the Spartan way. We build on our history. We find the best people in the world and invite them to join us. Then we help them to make their dreams become a reality that will change the world. Our university is becoming bolder every day, and that's by design. In its relentless pursuits of excellence that has created our world-class university and made us confident we can build and operate this world-class facility. Now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the Deputy Undersecretary of Science and Energy, Dr. Michael Notek. Secretary Notek.
Well, thank you, President Simon. I'm really delighted to be here, and I have to confess that my history, I came out of these kinds of projects. These things really get my juices going. I would go right out there and go to work today because it's where the real fun is. So I'm really super pleased that this can happen. I'm especially pleased that this university, this state, has stood up and said, we can do this. The contribution by the state, the contribution by the university, the tremendous support by the political delegation, all these things come into whether or not these things happen and where they happen. So you all need to be congratulated. This has just been a phenomenal effort. And the fact that you have Congress behind you, you have a contribution from the state, are all just an amazing accomplishment. It takes vision, it takes dedication, and it takes the kind of statewide commitment you see here. So I want to really especially to congratulate you there. This groundbreaking makes you one of the hubs of one of the most important national trust missions that the Department of Energy has, and that is building these kinds of facilities to serve the scientific community. And they have been a flywheel for the national scientific community for almost 50 years. We provide the most advanced tools for scientists from all walks of life. Today, Department of Energy spends 50% of our budget, science budget, on building and operating these facilities for the scientific community. We serve 29,000 scientists from around the country and around the world. We lead many parts of new emerging science and industry for that reason. So it's a very important part thing to be a part of, and you are now part of that trust mission. You now are the leaders for this very special community of nuclear scientists who are going to unlock secrets that are just going to amaze us all. So I can guarantee you it'll happen. Part of making this happen is getting the scientific community behind you. So when DOE goes out and says, okay, can you or can't you? If you don't have the trust and the backing of this scientific community, it will not happen. It just won't happen, believe me. And this has been a partnership between us and the National Science Foundation in making sure this community is ready for this, they're committed to this, they want to do this, and they're going to provide the students and the support to keep it going. Remember, this is a 20-plus year-long commitment. So it's in there for the long haul. So you're going to need everything you've got and then more. And I want to say for sure, says here you've got 1,350 users as of today, so that's a heck of a good start when the first beam is 8 or so years away. But one thing I want to say here, and that is I don't want to give anybody the impression that it's going to get easy or easier. As hard as it's been, I have to tell you it's going to get harder. But that's the joy of it. It really is. And involving students in this next phase is going to be the most really rewarding part. So this facility is going to break so many frontiers in technology. New magnets, new accelerators, new data systems, new computers, new detectors. All those things are going to be part of this.
And I've been a part of this a few times. I've built a couple of these and been around for several more. You know, there's this whole saying, better, faster, cheaper. Whenever I go to my chief engineer, I'd say, I want it better, faster, and cheaper. And he would always say, you get two, the third is mine. So you can have it better and faster, but it's not going to be cheaper. And you can have it better and cheaper, but it's not going to be faster. And I used to just hate it when he said that. But this is the time when you can have all three, because you are now in the middle of design. Remember, this thing is going to take 6 or 7 years to let out all these procurements. So the most important time in these things are, you've got the concept, you've got the scientist, everything's in tow, and the money's coming down the road to start these procurements. And if the more diligent you are, the more you drive the scientific community, the more you drive the engineers, the more you drive your vendor network, the people who are going to provide this equipment from this local economy, you can make really fundamental steps in innovation. And you've got to be ready for that. And it's the work now, the next 5 years, that will make that happen. You can transform what this turns out to be by really being fastidious. And most important for this economy is that these people who are providing this equipment will have to be the best in the world to provide this equipment. That's what you want. You want the best vendors, the best equipment, and the best facility. And there's a tremendous chance for innovation in the next few years. So don't take your foot off the gas, for sure. Get the community behind you. Get the other parts of the national enterprise behind you. Get industry behind you. And this is going to be a team effort. So I think you need Coach Izzo as a consultant here. And I get to come and talk to him. He's my all-time favorite coach. And it was quite a dismantlement yesterday. Really to be congratulated. I don't know who that other school was, but I don't think I want to get in any domestic disputes here. I'm a government servant. I have to stay neutral. Anyway, this facility, and I'll call it the facility for rare isotope beams, because I don't want to get involved in a political dispute. You can settle that. Anyway, it's important. The competencies coming out of this are going to be important to all segments of our economy. It's going to be a wonderful thing for this local economy, the state of Michigan, and it's going to be an amazing thing for students. I mean, this is going to be like students coming to work every day in an intergalactic spaceship. It's just phenomenal. Imagine the things they're going to be exposed to here. So it's going to be great fun. I really congratulate you all and put you on your way. Conrad, Tom, it's time to bring this puppy home, and we're behind you. Good luck. You know what to do. Thanks.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
That was the March 17th Facility for Rare Isotope Beams groundbreaking ceremony at Michigan State University. To hear it again, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes, inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, our guest this week is an MSU graduate and works as a field organizer for an organization called Green Corps. She recently returned to her alma mater to speak to students about Green Corps and to interview candidates for a very intensive and exciting training program. She is Callie Brewley, and Callie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Green Corps.
Yeah, Green Corps, we are the field school for environmental organizing. Our mission is to recruit and train organizers, provide field support for today's critical environmental campaigns, and graduate activists who possess the skills, temperament, and commitment needed to fight and win tomorrow's environmental battles.
So when you were back at Michigan State, and of course you are a Spartan, but did you find a few candidates that might be part of Green Corps over the next couple of years?
Yeah, so I interviewed quite a few candidates, and I'm pretty excited about it. You know, it's some pretty good interviews, and so I'm really excited. Hopefully we can get another Spartan in the next Green Corps class.
Now, you take 30 to 35 and train the field organizers, but one thing, I was looking at some of your materials, the training program is very intensive, and you've got some of the biggest names in environmentalism across the United States as part of the training program.
Yeah. Green Corps, we've been around for 22 years, and so we have graduated over 350 alumni who now are leaders in the environmental and social change movement. So, and they act as guest trainers during our trainings. So people like Phil Radford, executive director of Greenpeace, Marianne Height, she's the national programs director at the Sierra Club, Heather Smith, the president of Rock the Vote. So we have some pretty big names. It's pretty
exciting.
Well,
Bill McKibben, too, who's been on this program.
Right.
Actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's a prolific author and very well known.
Oh, yeah. Bill McKibben. He's not an alumni from Green Corps, but he definitely Skypes in for a training for us. So it's always fun to hear from him.
Now, what is it that you look for when you're trying to find people to participate in this training program? What does a field organizer need to have? What kind of right stuff?
So we are looking for people who are committed to fighting for the environment for the long haul, people who have shown leadership on campus, whether that's in their classes, in their clubs, or internships, but really just really passionate people who want to inspire people to make change for the environment.
So you're in that program now. I mean, you're a recent graduate of Michigan State University, and you get to go around the country and actually not only get involved in environmental initiatives, but also recruit young people for subsequent classes.
Absolutely. So Green Corps, during your Green Corps year, you work in about 3 to 5 different campaigns. I've worked so far in Athens, Ohio, with Environment Ohio to get support for the EPA's new carbon rules that will put limits on how much carbon power plants can emit. And right now I'm on my second campaign in Las Vegas, Nevada, working with the Sierra Club's Beyond Coal campaign to get support for an energy efficiency in the state of Nevada. So that's been fun. But another campaign we work on all year is full-time recruitment. So part of our job is to bring in new candidates for next year's class. And I feel like it's almost one of the most important parts of our job because, you know, the environment, it really needs people that are ready to step up to the plate for it. And bringing more people into the world of organizing and social change is so important. And it's just going to make us create more change in the long haul.
Now, the young people that go through the program, and you mentioned it's been around for about 20 years, I imagine they go to work for organizations like the Sierra Club, like Beyond Coal, like the Alliance for the Great Lakes. There are probably any number of environmental organizations that would love to have people who have worked as field organizers for Green Corps.
Absolutely. So, like I said, we've graduated over 350 people who are now work for so many different environmental organizations, and a lot of them really are leaders. And when we hear from alumni, because part of our program is helping the class get placed for their careers in environmental or social change organizations, and we hear from alumni, and they always say they love to hire Green Corps organizers because they went through the Green Corps program and they know how good of a training program it is and how much real experience you get. So it's definitely an amazing network, a way to network with other people in the environmental movement. And just it's so exciting to look and see Phil Radford. He did Green Corps right after college. And, you know, that could be me or one of my classmates one day. And that's really exciting.
Callie, when you were a student at Michigan State, what really got you interested in environmental issues?
Yeah, so I have been interested in the environment for as long as I can remember. Probably goes back to camping with my parents growing up as our family vacations. But I think when I got to college, I definitely wanted to pursue a career in the environment, but I didn't necessarily know what. I was really leaning towards environmental policy, so I studied social relations and policy at James Madison College, and I was looking at grad schools and figuring, I'll just study environmental policy, maybe get a job with the EPA one day. But my sophomore year, actually, after I got involved in the Beyond Coal campaign, because Green Corps actually sent an organizer to MSU's campus to launch the Beyond Coal
campaign. Right, Beyond Coal has been very active here at Michigan State, and we've also featured that on this program as well.
Yeah, great. And so her name was Monica Embry, and she introduced me into the world of organizing, and it was like finally someone was telling me what I could do with my passion for the environment and how I could really make change.
Callie, where can young people and their parents get more information about Green Corps?
GreenCorps.org.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah, green like the color and then core with an RPS at the end, .org.
I've been talking with Callie Brewley. She is a field organizer for an organization called Green Corps. Callie, thanks so much for being on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Dr. Kirk Heinze with Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. There's more online at mlive.com/environment.
Sundays at 4 o'clock, it's MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. MSU Today is a lively look at MSU-related people, places, events, and attitudes put into focus through conversations by MSU President Simon, Spartans A.D. Hollis, sustainability-focused Dr. Kirk Heinze, and me. MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR. Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.